I need to get a lovely volunteer couple up here to help me. And it is going to be Dan and Steph. Come on up. So don't worry. I didn't throw this on them at the last minute. We've got Dan and Steph coming up here. So, oh, look at that. They're already ready. Oh, boy. Jeepers creepers. Okay, so if you can stand right about, yeah, right about there would be a good spot. Steph, can you come up here? Because you need to be in the picture as well. So actually, Dan, can you turn the other way and then take two steps backwards? No, sorry, I'm walking you out of the screen. Take two steps forwards. Okay, good. And then Steph, you put your back against Dan's, okay? Actually, take one more step this way. Dan and Steph. Perfect. Look at that. All right. So I have asked Dan and Steph here to help me out this morning by playing a little game that I suspect that some of you have seen before at weddings or probably just at weddings. So here's the trick. I am going to ask Steph and Dan both a series of questions here, and they each have one of each other's shoes in each other's hands. So both of you raise Dan's shoe way up so we can see. Okay, good. And then both of you raise Steph's shoe way up. Okay, good. So you're going to answer these questions for me as we go. Who needs me to go over the instructions again? We've got one each of Dan and Steph. All right. So who is the most likely to prepare a candlelit dinner? Oh, Dan on both feet. Good. Who is the most likely to suggest a long walk on the beach? That's a unanimous Steph there. Who is the most reliable at taking out the trash? A little hesitation. Who is the most likely to make the bed? No hesitation there. All right. Who is the most likely to make the other breakfast in bed? All right. So Dan is the cook here. All right. I'm coming to your place for brunch. Who is the best listener? That's a very diplomatic answer, Steph. who is the most affectionate in public? All right, okay. Who is the most likely to send a love note? Okay, one of each. Who is the better doctor when the other one is sick? All right, there we go. And let's see, here's our final question. Who is most in need of a new pair of shoes? Thank you, Dan and Steph. You can go sit down. Yeah. Excellent work. Now let me get us turned around. Sorry, I hope I don't make you seasick there with that quick turn. Now, you're probably wondering, what was that? Why did we just do this? This is Good Friday, right? Did you not get the memo, Graham? This is Good Friday. Well, I want you to think back about all of those things that I've just asked Dan and Steph. Who's the most reliable at taking out the trash? Who makes the bed? Who's the best listener? Those are all ways that people express love for one another, right? Those are all ways that people show that the other person is important to them. And that is what Good Friday is all about. Jesus demonstrating just how deeply he cares for you and for me. We're going to focus our attention. I'm going to focus our attention on Galatians 2:20, a verse that Martin Luther said, think long and hard on this verse. The last part of Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to be able to internalize that and say that in the depths of your heart, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we're about to see in the scripture readings that tell the story of Jesus' passion. This is not simply a story of an honest man, the suffering and death of an honest man. This is the Son of God laying down his life to show just how deeply he is committed to you. Keep that in mind as we are reading the story of Jesus' death on the cross. Every step of the way here, Jesus stuck it out. He didn't call the ranks of the heavenly angels in. He didn't say, okay, God, I'm tapping out here. I'm not going to do this. Every step of the way, Jesus chose to keep going ahead with it, to show the extent of his love for you. Let's pray together, and then Ross, you can begin by reading for us. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. And we pray that as we hear once again the story, the account of your death on the cross, that we would hear something new. Spirit, stir in us, remind us of what Jesus has taught us, and lead us into all truth. Be glorified in our reading and on our retelling of what happened that first Good Friday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Son of God loves you. He gave his life for you. That's what this is all about. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus' death here on Good Friday was for you. There is no sin too grand, no sinner too awful. We have all wandered far from God, and yet God sent his Son to lay down his life for us. You know, Jesus at the Last Supper said, you know, there is no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. I would argue that Jesus actually took it a step further. He didn't just lay down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. While we were still sinners, while we had no interest in the God who made us, Jesus laid down his life for us. Imagine the depths of love that it takes to die for someone who has no interest in you. And yet that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life to redeem us. Now that he has offered us that redemption, imagine how great his love is for you. The Son of God loves you and gave himself for you. I hope that you have experienced that love for yourself. I hope that when you hear him say in a minute, "This is my body, which is broken for you," you realize it is really broken for you. And I hope when you hear him say, "This blood is the new covenant in my blood," you will understand that he is committing himself irrevocably to you to the very end. And I hope that you will live in light of it. Right? It'd be pretty bad if Steph took the trash out all the time and then Dan just kind of remained aloof and didn't really do anything about it. Right? An act of love calls for a response of love. Jesus calls us to live for him since he laid down his life for us. Galatians 2:20, I think, captures it well. And really, there's more there than I've said, isn't there? I like the paraphrase that Walter Hansen gives us. "I no longer live as an egocentric person in obedience to all my selfishness and desires, for Christ is now the center of my life. Now I live in obedience to him, for he loved me and gave himself for me." As we come to the table, let me say this. If you have chosen to live by faith in the Son of God, then you are welcome here. If you haven't yet, come. There is a place set for you. Jesus knows your secrets, your sins, your regrets, your past, good and bad. And even so, he chose to stand in your place to give you a brand new start. Let your heart respond to that redemptive love and come. There's a song that I want to share with you that I think captures this idea well. Let me play this song for you, and then we will gather together at the Lord's table.